Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and hello, Neil.
Hello.
Hello. We today are taking your calls, as always, for on-air readings and discussing reducing karma. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that. We started on Wednesday, but as always, we did not have enough time to cover all the ways you can reduce karma in a lifetime. I don't think any number of shows would accommodate that conversation. But anyway, we're going to do our best today. And callers, thanks for joining us. We do see several of you in the queue. We do talk for about 15 minutes prior to taking calls. So please do keep your place in line. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And we invite you to join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us here. You may also join us on Facebook and on Twitter. There are two accounts on Facebook, Neil Baker Psychic, as well as Neil and Kristen Baker. So please find us on both of those accounts and on Twitter as well. 562-596-7818 is the number to call after the show if you'd like to talk further. And again, call-in number, 914-338-0164. Callers, remember to press 1 on your phone so that we know you would like to speak with us. And I guess that's it. Where did we leave off, Neil? We were talking about karma. I mean, there's so much ground to cover in this conversation. I remember on the last show, we had kind of touched on the fact, where are you going? We kind of touched on the fact that everybody's karmic journey is going to be different. Everybody has their own individual stamp of karma from past lives and also the karma that they create in the lives that are being led currently. So what one person's going to have to do to reduce karma and either graduate to the next level in their next lifetime or actually transcend the planet is going to be different. It's going to be easier on some people than others. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're basically talking about the idea of karma is just, we just don't have a general definition of what karma is. Karma is unique to the individual. In other words, some people have been working on a specific karma over many lifetimes, reducing it. If you have committed a major crime in one lifetime, people who have 5 consecutive life terms sentences.
I know what I was going to say.
Someone who has great debt in one lifetime that can't possibly be
sufficed in one the next incarnation.
You tend to think, well, you know, when he dies, when he or she dies, their karma will be over. You know, it's just a matter of overlapping in one lifetime. No, not the case. So you keep coming back and reducing that. So karma can be a continuum of reduction over an offense or a series of offenses throughout particular lifetimes. It can originate from one lifetime, and then it keeps succeedingly getting lower throughout each lifetime. That is, if they don't keep adding
karma
to the
mix. But, you know, is it true that every person has a chance to completely reduce their karma in a single lifetime and transcend? Or is it impossible for somebody?
Yes and no.
I mean, it's
yes and no. You for those who have heavy karmic debt, and they, let's say they do something so heroic and so transcendent, it's incredible. Well, the idea, do they come back? They may come back, but have fresh, you know, no, the karma is released, but they have now the karma of producing a life without unnecessary or due karma. So they're starting off now back on the earth, kind of scot-free, but they have other things to do. Others may transcend in that lifetime if they do something great. It isn't a general ruling that if you do something transcendent in one lifetime, that you're automatically
transcending. It depends on the history of the past lives.
It depends on the history, because you may be doing something that does eliminate a great source of abundant karma, and one act may eliminate that. So you're kind of coming back to the planet on a brand new scale without adding that karma to it. Others may transcend entirely. And we also have to look at the offense of karma. Someone who rapes and strangles or kills or abuses another individual is not going to be the same kind of karma as someone who steals. Who steals incredibly wrong, stealing.
Right, but the gravity of raping someone, I mean, it's almost equal to murder, in my opinion.
Theft is not going to be as severe. The fact is, someone killing somebody in a robbery is karma. Someone killing somebody during a rape is karma. Do the two karmas completely match? No. They're both offensive. They're both terrible acts, but they have a different category of energy.
Right. Just like the abuse of power is going to be sometimes, especially if you're in a spiritual position of guiding people in their spirituality and you abuse power, maybe not necessarily raping them, but you know, stealing money or misleading people, that can be equivalent to something like murder.
Dictators, you know, they say Hitler didn't kill anybody, but dictators.
Yeah, he was a vegetarian, so.
Dictator, yeah.
Strangely.
We don't know exactly in the war, but, you know, he was a soldier first, but dictators who command massive slaughters and death, there's another karma. So karma is obviously, we're looking at dramatic situations. There can be subtle karmas too that equate to consecutive life terms over lifetimes. And if the world condemns a person and gives them consecutive life terms, you can almost bet that the universe is going to validate that and keep sending them back until their death on the planet is over. So now what about the other parts of karma that are good? We can produce good karma in any one of our chakras, good karma in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, spiritual, heart, balance, communication, just all kinds of energies that we can establish through the chakra systems. When we are going through the planet, guess what? We want to make sure that every chakra we have reaches the epitome of a seventh energy. So the spiritual energy of the first chakra, the spiritual energy of the second, third, fourth, and so on and so forth. We want to make sure that we have perfected each level of existence to the highest order. Now, that's the more conventional, conservative way of looking at karma. It's the safest way to feel that you have sufficed yourself both in ego with good karma, in the process of community, good karma, the nation, the world. You want to use an attitude that your karma is forever expanding, has high consciousness, and has reached a plateau of
right. And some people don't even have the opportunity to get to that place in their lifetime because the karma is so dense in their own personal life that how can they even, you know, attempt to reach the world, much less people in their community?
Well, I'll tell you how. In the Bible, if you reach one person, you've saved a planet. If those of us don't have to be so prolific that we're reaching nations and different regions of the world, we can reach one person that represents the country in our home state. You know, somebody comes from another country and they come to your part of the world and you befriend them in a major way or help them. You've touched that whole nation that they came from or that whole country they came from. because we go from the micro to the macro. We go from the universal concept down to the individual concept. And if we're going to look at the world as one unit, or the universe as one unit, then what you do for one is what you do for many. So the idea that that's what we have to conceptualize, that there is not this singularity of existence involves the universe. So we're all on this universal plane, and so anything that affects somebody else ultimately affects us, and vice versa. So if we look at the universe that way, our brains expand into a universal concept, a cosmic concept. And this is what is most
gratifying. We're going to be talking about that next week on our show, the universal concept, a little bit more in detail.
But yeah, I mean, because we're dealing with elements of karma and how to get through it. And so there's many creative ways. Think of karma as being creative. How do you creatively work through your karma? It doesn't always have to be dramatically negative.
Right. Well, and the thing about, right, because we have creative opportunities in, many people have creative opportunities in terms of reducing their karma. It's not all difficult, you know, drudge work.
No, it isn't. Of course, you know, we're not going to minimize what people have to go through with karma. Some of it's just terrible, terrible. And surely,
well,
Kristen,
we've all,
we deal with people who, most time people call us in crisis, and it's not a, you know, hey, put on a happy face, be creative. Some of it's terrible stuff that we're dealing with. And so the idea that we have as a team in working with these people is that we are burdened with their energy. We take it seriously. And when we're dealing with someone in distress, we go into that world with them.
It does,
you know,
impact our
lives. We don't
just
try to say, hey, cheer up, you know, think, just count your blessings. We don't go there necessarily. We experience the darkness that people are going through, and we work through that with them.
Right. So, you know, I just want to bring up a couple of things, Neil. One, when we talk about suicide, because a lot of people will ask about suicide, what happens after someone commits suicide, and are they granted the grace of God and allowed to transcend the planet? And the idea is that if we're here to reduce our karma, and we are so burdened by karma that we just try to escape it by suicide, or, you know, some other act that ends our life because we're so despondent, that the idea of transcendence, I mean, you're just compounding the karma when you you try to escape in that way.
Well, suicide usually holds heavy karmic debt because it's still murder against the self. And what you're doing is you're saying the self has given up on higher element. So you're really killing your higher self when you commit suicide. And that becomes a problem. You just don't escape it. You have to address that on a universal concept. So we tend to think, well, you know, okay, since you brought the topic, commit suicide. I'm not hurting anybody. Well, you actually do. You hurt the people around you.
Right, that's
karma.
But
you're hurting. You have to understand that your astral body is also apart from your body. So if you commit suicide, you're not giving your astral body the chance to redeem itself. And you're cutting short a sentence. It's like breaking out of jail and not completing your sentence. You get caught. If you break out of jail, you get caught, you go back, your sentence may be compounded. If you try to escape life by a self-inflicted wound that's fatal, then you have jumped out of jail. You have broken out, but not in a way that's going to be legal. So yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory. People who are laying in bed and they're dying and there's mercy killings, the doctors, that's a different category. We're dealing in a different space there. But I'm not going to get into the intricacies of where that judgment goes, but it is a different element, so to speak. Some people may say, well, it isn't, but it is. And it demands a different kind of discussion.
Right. So I'm not, I just wanted to touch on that briefly. And the other thing that I wanted to mention before we get to our callers, which we're going to do in a few moments here, is, you know, you mentioned that people call often despondent because of their heavy karmic burden, and we attempt to help them. A lot of times also people are calling because of their desires to achieve a relationship, their desires to get a job or money, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes being stuck in karma also is being in that, you know, is equatable with being in a state of desire, you know, desiring. And if we are, if we can, in our own individual lives, maybe step out of that wanting, desirous place, that will eliminate karma as well.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So there are numerous ways to achieve the transcendence of karma, but what we have to do is really firmly address it, and we have to address our karmic states from even tracing, going back and tracing from our childhood, what have been our trials or tribulations, aside from the fact that a lot of them are generalized. We all have it. You know, most of us do have school anxiety, and most of us do get spanked, and most of us have done naughty things. But for the most part, when we're dealing with karma, there will become a repeated theme or a one-time heavy theme that one has to go through.
Right, like difficulty in relationships, finding a partner, or difficulty in the relationships. You find partners, but they're all toxic.
Yeah, and lastly, you know, it's very interesting because sometimes karma can hit a little boy or girl early in life, and it becomes this dramatic episode. And so the person, when they grow up, they look back and they go, you know, when I was 8, I almost died. Or when I was 8, there was a tragic thing happened, and I got through it. That's a big chunk of karma right there that a person can look at to decipher the theme of what they went through, and then perhaps a relief that it was karma, but it's over.
But it's over.
But it's a way of defining what kind of karma we came into the world with.
And of course, the birthday codes will reveal that as well. That's a tool. And we're going to be revealing more about that in our upcoming book. So stay tuned for that, everybody. And I think we should get to some callers. Actually, a lot of familiar people today. So first caller, 860. And everybody in the queue will be getting a reading. So do keep your place in line. Who's this?
Well, hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Amy. How are you?
Oh, hi, Amy. Hi. How
hi.
Are you? It's
good.
Been a while since we heard from you. Hi.
Yeah, it's been a while. Did you need my birthday?
Yeah, let's get your birthday. I don't have it handy, and I didn't memorize it, which is...
Oh, it's okay. 12-16-73.
12-16-76. Okay.
73.
Wait, 73?
Yes.
12-16-73.
You got it.
30 equals 3. I should have remembered that. Okay, Amy, and you're calling from Connecticut?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
All right. And what's going on?
I'm wondering what you guys see for maybe the next couple of months. My birthday, of course, is in December. It's been very...
Oh, yeah, you're going to be 43 years old, right?
Yeah, I will be 43. Yes.
Yeah, you're 42 right now.
Right, and it's been very rocky in the sense of relationships, and just everything just seems to be erupting, if that's the word. And, I mean, I know it's for my highest good, and talk about karma. I'm really persevering through all these challenges, so I'm just wondering what you see for the next couple of months, highlight something with the relationships in my life, because I don't really have a close-knit friendship with anyone, and I'd really like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A close-knit friendship, meaning like a friendship or a platonic relationship or a... I remember when you called last time, you were talking about issues with groups of friends. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, you were very right on. I mean, that's kind of slowly dissipated. It's just I'm trying to, like, fill her up. So what basically this year was about for me up until now is emptying out and dissolving anything that no longer serves me, including the friendship. So now I'm ready to fill her up, and I feel like I've been waiting a while for really like-minded people, same frequency level, in the sense of just wants the best for everyone, uplifts people, because that's, I'm always uplifting other people, and it would be nice to have an exchange.
You know, Amy, in December of 2015, you began your 14th cycle of your master number 3. So it's not surprising that you're going through some changes in that regard. And you, your life goes in cycles of 3. We talked about that, I think, with you previously.
Okay.
So obviously this is part of the shakeup that's going on in your life.
And you're 12 years beyond the age of 30, which is your month. So what?
That's right. That's
the number of your month. Now, what you need to do.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, ahead. 12 plus 1, which is her subsequent number, is 13. So she's going to be 43.
Yeah.
So that's kind of moving through that karmic side of the birth date.
What you need to do, Amy.
Yes.
There are two things you can possibly do to enter this new world you're trying to find with this more fulfilling relationship, friendship, and also love relationship.
You
probably, one option is to find a group of, like a matchup group or
a meetup group
of people who love to discuss spiritual things or converse in the spirit. And that can be from A to Z in any type of group setting, but that's a comfort to you. So there's one, because there you might fall in love with someone who's already on your wavelength in terms of interest and pursuit. So there's one thing you can do. Have you done that yet?
I have been, and it's not like what I'm learning is discernment for myself this year as well, is that I don't want to be over eager and try so hard, but I am, you know, if I really 100% want to go somewhere where it's like a meetup group or a meditation, I go. Like, there's one tomorrow, and part of me was just like, oh, I'm not sure, but I know in my heart I need to go to this.
Sometimes it's hard to motivate.
Yeah.
Well, the other.
To be around others.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can put out a personal vibration in the security of your own home and send that energy out. If you're asking us, do you see anyone coming to my doorstep, so to speak? Do you see something on the rise? We're saying that we do. We're also saying that there might be a way to activate it, because you're stimulating and activating certain chakra levels of your body. Now, with that in mind, there's another perhaps doorway you can enter where you may find somebody of your liking. Are you much of a literature person? Do you like to read, write?
Yes, I do. I like writing. I'm a writer. Yep.
Yeah. Well, then what we're getting here is that you need to go to a writing group, a writing conference, writing where writers meet in some level. That might take you a little bit away from this spiritual, you know, zone.
Yes.
But finding somebody who writes has a lot of energy in it, too, and you can find love there, too. So think of that as well in your variety of searching, where you might find groups that have writing energy in it, and, you know, internet, in person. Those are two clues for you. But in the long run, relationship coming.
Okay, Amy.
Can I just ask you one thing? Like, what's my, really quickly, the cycle coming up on my birthday, what number is that?
The number of cycles you've been through this year, when you're turning 43, you're amidst a cycle. You have your next cycle of 15 at the age of 45 years old. So you're in the midst of your 14th cycle currently.
Okay. And so what's the numerology of the birthday coming up, the 12/16/73, as far as next?
Well, 12/16/2016.
To 12/16/2016, which is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it's a one. So it's a one. It's a
one
year.
It's a 1 year, but 12/16 is a one, and 73 is a one.
73 is a one. 1973 is a two.
Yeah, but 73 is a one. So what you're looking at this year is a level of grounding yourself.
Okay.
Foundation.
Your foundation. So the foundation this year will help to establish a foundation premise to where you're going.
Yes.
So it's a good place to start this year.
Okay, Amy.
Excellent.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks. Yes. Take care too. And Amy can join us on Facebook and here on Blog Talk Radio, Twitter, et cetera, 562-596-7818. And our call-in number today, 914-338-0164. Okay, 415 is next. This is Kate. Hi, Kate. Are you there? Kate can't hear us. Okay, I'm going to mute her. Maybe she's on the other line. I'm going to bring on 954. Hello,
my name is Mary. I'm calling from Florida. And I've been presented today with a notice to move at the end of the month, with the only other option being moving to a smaller apartment and paying $100 more. And I'm on a fixed income. It's really hard. I've been trying to find a cheaper place. Do you see me actually having to move at this time? Is there going to be any leeway here? What's going to happen to me?
What's your birth date, Mary? 12/8/43. Okay. Same month as Amy. And I wrote down that. I'm adding this up.
28, 10/1,
right?
Mary, why are they asking you to move? Have you not made your monthly payments? What's the story here?
No, I'm current. I'm current. But I tried to move last year when they had other management into the smaller units, and he reneged on the deal and rented them for more money. But in the meantime, new owners bought the building and different managers. So they raised the rents, and I'm presently in a two-bedroom, and they said that they want to raise the rent here, and the only way that they would work with me is if I would go to a smaller unit and pay $100 more a month. And I also have animals to relocate, and I'm not in good physical health right now. I'm really kind of...
Have you checked with the laws about how much they can raise the rent? What is there anything?
Well, there's actually no there's no limits actually. It's pretty much a tourist state. They're allowing them to do whatever they want to do as far as rentals. There's no ceiling on it.
The story in your, how long have you been living in this apartment building?
A total of 9 years. I left for a brief time and owned my own home and had to sell it and then came back. So it's been a total of 9 years that I've been here.
So your master number is 28 equals 10 equals 1. Now, when we look at the 10 part of that, we're getting close to a karma of perhaps a change. I'm unfortunate. I mean, if you can't afford that $100 more in a smaller apartment, I'm right now seeing you moving. I don't see a way to stay there. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody else will see it for you. I don't see it right now. I see that you're going to be moving, but there is another area that will work for you. It's sort of by water, and it's a little bit old. It smells a little bit musty, but I can see being there and saying, you know what, but this is okay. I'm okay here. Okay, so this is where the universe is putting me. That I'm seeing that right now. Now it may change, but that's what I'm seeing. And I want to ask you something. What's going on with $600 at this point or in the vicinity of?
$600? Nothing that I'm aware of. is this something coming in to help me, or?
I don't know. What are you paying now in your apartment?
I'm sorry. I'm paying $1,000.
$1,000. That's how.
And so they want you to pay $11?
Yes.
Well,
and if I don't have money to move, so.
Well, here's
you
the
know.
Thing, Mary. Wait a minute. Stop. You're paying $1,000. That's your 2-8 in your day and month. Your
mm-hmm.
karmic number is 28. Your
mm-hmm.
20 equals 10 equals 1. You have a 2-8 in your day and month. That's a 1 or a 1,000, if you will. 1-2-8 becomes an 11, which is another 100 to your 1,000. You may, can you survive upstairs to the smaller place with 100 more?
Can I what?
Can you survive?
That's the thing. I've been getting payday loans to just survive where I'm at.
Oh wow.
No.
She's getting.
Well, I don't know. The idea that I'm looking at this other place, which may be less than what you're paying now, is one option. You're saying physically you can't move. It's a hardship. Blah.
Very much so. I have to relocate animals. I would have to have somebody move furniture. I have been packing boxes for a very long time. I was supposed to get some help, and other people have gone into other crisis modes on their own lives. So the people I relied on that I lined up are not going to be available.
Okay, Mary, what are they asking for? Well, how much are they asking for in the apartment you're in now?
$1,000.
Yeah, but what do they want? They said they want more.
If I was to stay in the apartment I'm in, I would have to come up with 300, 400 more.
Oh, you know what? When I said 600, right before that mark of me saying that, I was feeling 400. So I was picking up on what they're wanting more. You can't afford that.
Absolutely
not. 100. I don't know, Mary. It's a tough one. It's just tough.
I know.
I don't know.
And I'm not in good physical health at the moment. I have had some health issues for the past several months, and the stress has been escalating.
Is there anything, an assistance you can get from the state?
I'm trying to contact several county agencies to see if there's any help with move. I haven't actually waited till the ball dropped. I mean, I've been looking for several months for another option. And I kept inquiring about the one bedrooms right along since last year to deaf ears. And it's all been about the money. The people actually that rented those apartments for a lot more money have taken the managers to court because they have not had the apartments in good working condition. I mean, it was a blessing in disguise in that fashion, and I looked at it in that respect, but it didn't resolve the money problem.
Well, they have, you know, they may have issues with the building and they may have to make improvements, but they're apparently it's legal for them to raise the rent.
Oh, it is.
So,
it is. Actually, they're trying to sell the building again. From what my understanding is, there's people still looking at the property.
Well,
okay.
So
we need to move on,
yeah.
But let's encapsulate the answer here.
You know, you got to keep looking for aid. I do see the 400 that was raised. I think you might be moving to another place that you might gain assistance there and somebody helping you, you know, students for that move or goodwill people or the church, they might help you. But my feeling is that you're going to be moving and you're going to be moving into a place that's okay. It fits your needs. It might be a little old. It might be a little musty smelling at first. But
do you think I'll get a time extension? Will there be some more time on this because they have to still take it to court?
Okay, let me say real quickly, and then we have to move on. You expect no more than 3 months.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right now they're saying the end of the month, but I'm just saying if there's a couple more months.
I think they'll let you go for maybe 2 more months if you express hardship. They might give you 2 months, but you have to move at that point. That's what we'll count on.
Okay, Mary. Let us know how things progress, okay?
Thank you both. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good luck. And Mary can join us on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, et cetera, 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. And again, our call-in number 914-338-0164. I always have to remind myself to repeat our call-in number. I think it's useful.
Well, it's professional, isn't it? That's what they really do.
I guess you should do it more then.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's what everybody does.
I always forget to do it, but usually we have so many callers that it, you know, I mean, we still have a lot of callers, but it's nice, you know, if we can reach more people. So I should remember to do that. And Kate, if you're still listening, we did try to bring you on and no one was there and then she dropped. So I don't know what happened. Kate, 415 area code. You can call back if you'd like to speak with us, but let's bring on Liz. Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Good. Thanks. 3880. She's a 2911 too. What's new?
I had a very interesting experience recently.
Okay, great. Could you talk into your phone, though, so we can hear it?
Yeah, let me. Is that better?
That's a little bit better, yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let me see if I can. Okay, so I had an interesting experience, and I wanted to share it with you guys and see what you thought about it or if you had any ideas about what it was. So I was laid down on my couch, and this was, I believe it was last week. And I do that a lot to take a nap. So I laid down on the couch, and pretty soon I went into like a lucid type state.
So you fell asleep and then went into a lucid state?
It's hard to describe it. I feel fully conscious and like I feel like I'm awake, but I know that I'm in this weird in between type of state.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to me a lot. But this one was really different because one of the things that happened is I suddenly like realized like that I could tune into this high frequency. It sounds crazy, but I started hearing this high pitched frequency, and which was, you know, I've heard that before. I have heard it a few times. There's very few and far between now, and all of a sudden I started to ask for angels or beings of light to like be around me, and the next thing that happened was what I was seeing in my mind's eye was basically like this tunnel of really intricate fractals, and I was moving through this tunnel at a very fast rate of speed. So that's the experience. After I woke up, I guess, from this, I felt really good. I felt really energized and excited and moved. And it was just a fascinating, really interesting experience, and I was wondering if you guys might have any insight about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have any insight. Do you have any insight? Let's move on to the next one. Sorry.
<Yeah. laughs>
You just opened that up for me. Sorry, Liz.
What you did, Liz, was you started to
astral project
in a semi-conscious state. Your body started to relax. Sometimes we get tired. We lay down. We settle down into our soul. Our soul or our astral body starts to connect and wake up. And because we're sort of in that lucid state, it allows the spirit, the astral body to move through the physicality of the body and exit out the third eye, where sometimes you can hear sounds, high-pitched sounds. You went into an astral tunnel via the silver cord, and you started to travel into the astral realm. And yes, it will be refreshing. It will feel nice, especially if the themes around that energy are in a good spot. So you took in a little astral travel. This happens in sleep. It can happen in a semi-sleep state.
It's almost like she was in a meditation, maybe deeper than that. But that happens.
Well,
the brain waves are...
Not necessarily meditation. She was in astral travel. Meditation is a different thing.
Right, but what I'm stating is that, you know, she wasn't sure if she was completely asleep, so she wasn't, you know, necessarily dreaming. She, right?
Well, that's a semi... That was not meditation. She wasn't sitting there meditating on something. She was falling in the realm between the physical world and astral realms. That's different from meditation.
Right, because she wasn't consciously
meditating. Yeah, she wasn't going into a conscious form. So you were allowing, your astral body was saying, aha, it's a door. It's like a dog that sees the door, front door is open and it runs out.
So it's better than meditation if you can actually access this type of realm.
Well, it's a whole different category.
It's a different ball game.
It's a traveling energy. Mm-hmm. It's not a meditative energy. It's the astral body is getting out of the physical body and traveling into the astral realm. Here, it was like you were like a little dog running out of the front door and really having a good time peeing on everybody's lawn.
Oh, great. Great analogy.
You know, it felt good. You know, that's what dogs do. They love to get out and they get to run through the neighborhood and have fun, especially if they think they know how to get back home. And that's what you did, Liz. You left your body and you had a little astral trip.
All right. That's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, hopefully that clarifies things for you, Liz.
Yep, it sure does.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And, the thing about meditation is that people are trying to access higher states of consciousness. So sometimes, I mean, people meditate so they can leave their bodies.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, meditation has different layers. I mean, meditate to reach a state of oneness or stillness, to meditate to reach in the channel of astral projecting, meditate to reach the channel of higher consciousness. I mean, there's different ways of meditation.
So the fact that she was not consciously focusing on trying to astral travel separates it from the meditation.
Yeah.
But you can meditate and astral project.
You can meditate
and
astral project.
Okay. All right. Now that we've clarified that, 262, and this is Amy. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Amy again?
Amy again. Different Amy than the first Amy. Hi. I'm sorry,
hello.
I'm stifling a sneeze here. Oh, goodness. Okay, what's going on?
Just wanted to ask if October 31st might be a good day for me to take that exam and pass it.
Oh, the acupuncture exam.
Mm-hmm.
October 31st. 3, 4, 5. That's a 5. 5, 6, 7, 8. A 14, 5,
mm-hmm.
In fact. What do you think, Neil?
What's her birthday?
Oh, you didn't get it. It's 12/29/69. She's a 39/12/3, and 9/10/11/12/13/14. Well, the good news, Amy. Am I adding that up right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the karmic side of your birth date is actually a 14/5. 12/29 is a 14/5. So that matches the numerical value of the date of the exam in some. And the years line up.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying that I'm not seeing?
1/6 and 6/9.
Oh yeah. 1/6 and 6/9. They do. Yeah.
Well,
I wasn't aligning the years.
It's a good date. It's not a bad date. It's not. There's nothing bad about it, so you don't have to worry about that. If that's what you're asking, so. Is it a bad date?
I can pretty much choose the day I'm going to take it, so I can adjust that if there's a more optimal day.
So you're asking, is there a better day than the day that the October 31st date?
It's going to be a Monday, Halloween. It's not a bad date. There's nothing bad about it. You know, I would tell you that don't do it if I saw or felt something really bad happen. But I don't get that. So it's not a date to avoid.
Do you get that I can pass it, that I will pass it, that is there anything that or?
No. Okay, Amy, you can pass it. There's no reason
you
to
have
not pass it.
In terms of her having the capability to pass the exam.
Yeah, I don't see that you're stupid, that you're ignorant, that you're incapable.
No.
You can pass it. I don't see anything karmically that says you won't.
Okay.
So you can pass it. I mean, if I were in your shoes, I would just say, I'm going to pass this test. I'm very good at what I'm doing. I need to get on with my life, and I'm going to pass it.
Right. You don't want to create a block, like psyching yourself out that you cannot pass the test. That's going to be a hindrance, maybe you've done, right?
I have, and that's been my block in the past. So,
So
that's not there anymore, and I could just go and comfortably work it through.
Worry is better equated with caution than with obstacle. If your worry turns into an obstacle, you're in trouble. If your worry is to be cautious, then that's sensible. You cautious.
Okay.
But being cautious means that you're alert to who you are. And if you are one that wants to accomplish this goal, then you do it cautiously, there's no reason why you can't pass.
How long after you take the exam, Amy, does it take to find out the results?
You find out immediately.
Oh, really? That's nice.
Yes.
Well, Chris and I will put out an extra dose of energy for you. And, keep your third eye strong.
Okay.
Vision, breathing, because in the world of acupuncture, your third eye combines with your ability to understand the points of the body that are where acupuncture takes place and where the energy takes place. So you've got to have insight as well as tact. And so you need to increase your third eye because your third eye wants to go on the journey with you when you become an acupuncturist. And so you need to think of that. And so keep those two in mind.
Okay.
Okay, Amy. Well, it's coming up. So I'm sure we'll talk to you probably before then. But good luck in case we don't.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Well. So that was our last.
That was our last caller for the day. Kate hung up, so I don't know what happened there, but a lot of old faces today, which is nice to have people checking in and updating us on their progress.
Yeah, we can spend maybe two more minutes if somebody doesn't come in.
Okay.
We can call it a day.
Okay.
We were talking about karma.
Yeah.
And the degree and the attitude of karma.
We have
somebody came in.
Yeah. All right, let's bring them on. 832. Hi there. They dropped. Okay, that was odd.
Well, we were talking about karma and the attitude of karma being that karma is actually the discussion of our soul. It can be immediately brought into the discussion of our body, our current state of mind, because we are actually holding the ball now.
Right, but the soul is what brought us onto the history. The soul is what keeps bringing us back to the planet over and over and over again to resolve that karma.
Think of it as a game where a ball is involved, basketball, football. You have the ball now, but just because you have the ball, that doesn't mean the game started then. You grab the ball in the process of the game. So when you have the ball and it's your turn, you're thinking about how the game's going, how far ahead, how far back you are, And so the metaphor of this lifetime is like holding the ball in the midst of a game, considering how the game's been being played. That's the past life agenda of how it feels to be in this current life with this ball of karma.
Keep going. We keep
losing.
You know, it's funny. The callers keep dropping. We just had someone else come in and hung up. So I guess we didn't answer quickly enough.
So, you know, they hear us talking, so they
probably, they get bored. And
they get their attention. So the
okay.
So you know, that's a good way of looking at it. If you're playing basketball and you have the ball now and you're ahead of the game, it's different than if you're way behind the game. If in this lifetime you're considering this lifetime as the ball holding time zone, you have to consider how far or how back I am in terms of my life. Have I reached my accomplishments? Am I still running towards something? Am I still trying to get something done? Or have I done what I needed to do and now I'm looking at the icing on the cake? You have to kind of look at life that way.
Guess what? And it's Kate. Yes. So she's back. Hold on. I'm going to bring her on. So holding the ball of karma, what you're going to do with the ball is the metaphor.
Right within the 2 minute time zone.
Yes, Kate. And Kate, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi. We brought you on, but no one was there. I don't know if you're on the other line.
Yeah, sorry. Got another call, second call.
Yeah, that's what we thought. And then you hung up. So, okay. 9:22:69.
67.
Oh, 67. I'm sorry. Yeah. 67, but you're 36.9.
Yes.
Okay. So what is going on, Kate?
Oh, I'm just calling for a general reading of what's going on. Anything about the next 3 months, kind of like there's still things they want to accomplish before the next year towards especially in a career area.
Okay.
But
you're still doing like events? Is that your deal?
Yeah, I'm still doing events. Yeah.
Okay. Are you self-employed? I know that you're like an independent contractor,
yeah,
but do you have your own company?
Yeah, I work for myself and I work for other people as well. I do both.
Okay. All right. So she's asking about the next 3 months in terms of her career.
The next 3 months in terms of your career, you're 49 years old?
Yeah.
Just
turned.
You're 13. You see,
so happy birthday.
You're 13 years past your karma, 36. 9:22 is a 13. So, and you're looking at the next 3 months. So you are essentially at a time frame, not exactly on a multiple of 9. That was at 45.
The long
your
cycles.
Next one's at 54.
Long cycles when you're in a.
But 49 is also a 13. Your age adds up to 13.2. So what we're looking at is you are achieving a sense of balance right now. You're trying to balance your zone. Yeah, good. You're trying to balance your zone in the midst of your life. We're talking about the next 3 months. 2.2, your day, is a broken up 4, which is the balance chakra. So you're trying to balance your personal life with your professional life.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole world is trying to achieve balance. So what you should be concentrating on in the next 3 months is how am I going to perfect my sense of balancing all of the parts of my life?
Mm-hmm.
And this is your testing zone to practice it. So, you know, look at your day, try to figure out how to make everything work in one day on a daily basis so that you don't fill one day up with less than you should. Learn to categorize, organize your day in such a way that there's so much time for pleasure, so much time for work, so much time for personal, professional, and any other interests or hobbies you have. Organize your day so that each day is balanced. That's the first step I would do if I were you.
And from that, then I can move into the next phase of a new career?
Yes, because what you're
looking at. A new relationship?
Right, you've been looking for a relationship for a while. Nothing's come up for you, though, apparently.
Well, your relationship, you see, you're a 9, And right now you're in the midst of a cycle, which is going to be at 54, coming up at 54. But where you are on the map of your life right now is between the 6 and the 7 of your year. So your the attitude of you achieving a relationship is going to be contingent on the attitude that you have about spirituality within your own life. So if you're carrying some kind of baggage, some kind of past baggage, and we can just look at this lifetime, that you haven't let go of yet, any issues, turmoils, conflicts,
I've done that all year. I've released baggage this whole year.
Okay. Have you had any animals or pets that crossed over and it was really hard for you to deal with that?
Maybe in childhood, but not as
an
adult.
Okay, good. And in your childhood, was there any turmoil within the household?
Oh, yeah, always. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a little personal advice. You've been working on it all year. The year isn't up yet. Go back to that zone in your childhood and get rid of a few more crumbs.
Okay.
And the relationship's coming.
Great.
Okay. Always love it when you keep us posted, Kate. So do let us know how things progress.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I just had I had a family reunion last weekend, and it was the most peaceful in my life. So
that's
was
nice.
A big balance in the family.
And that's I was going to mention travel. You revisited. You're from Washington, right?
Yeah.
State of Washington?
Yeah, and I take a lot of weekend trips and visit them.
Good.
Like
well,
said,
that's good.
It's just crumbs, Kate. It's
yeah,
not much.
You.
But
okay.
but those crumbs will suffice for the relationship.
All right, Kate. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And we are back on the air next week, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, as always. So we hope you join us then, callers. Thanks for joining us today. Bye-bye.